You know, historically, if you think about it, building a fortress was just incredibly expensive. You needed stone, mortar, years of backbreaking labor just to get the walls up.
Oh, absolutely. But bringing it down,
Right.
a couple of, well-placed trebuchets, some gravity, and you're right in.
Yeah. The economics of destruction, they always favor the attacker. Breaking things just takes way less energy and fewer resources than building them.
Right. That's a fundamental rule.
But I mean, in the digital world, for a long time, it actually felt like the walls were holding. You know, you buy the expensive enterprise firewall, you meticulously patch your servers, train your staff, and you feel, well, relatively safe behind the moat.
Sure, you had a sense of security.
But looking at the intel we gathered from the Ghosts in the Machine briefing over the last roughly 24 hours, it is so clear that the digital moat hasn't just dried up for you and me. It's basically been paved over.
Yeah, completely paved over.
So, today's mission for this deep dive, we are exploring a massive shift in the balance of digital power. The cost of launching a highly sophisticated cyber attack has just utterly collapsed, while the cost of defending against one hasn't budged an inch.
Yeah, I mean, we are witnessing a moment where attackers are actively industrializing their capabilities, and they're doing it using incredibly cheap open source AI.
Right.
Meanwhile, defenders are stuck. They're using improvised tools, or worse, they are actively blocked by corporate safety filters from even using the best tech.
Wow.
And underneath all of this, the sheer cost of the physical hardware running these systems is forcing giants like Anthropic to rethink their entire business model. They're spending billions just to be, slightly more efficient.
Okay, let's unpack this because we actually have a real-world confirmed incident that just perfectly illustrates this shift. Taiwan's Ministry of Digital Affairs just issued this statement confirming that government agencies were targeted in July by what they called an abnormal attack.
An abnormal attack.
And it was using AI agents.
Yeah. And the historical significance of that statement, I mean, it really cannot be overstated. This is a sovereign government officially naming a freely downloadable agent harness. They specifically mentioned a tool called OpenClaw as the actual instrument used to breach its own ministries.
Right.
And they noted the hackers used a hybrid approach. So they were combining conventional manual hacking with these AI agents.
Wait, I want to pause on the term agent harness for a second, just so we are totally clear on the mechanism here.
Yeah.
Because we aren't talking about like a sentient AI waking up and deciding to hack a government.
Oh, no, far from it. An agent harness is essentially a software framework. It gives a large language model, a set of tools, and a specific goal.
Okay.
So instead of a human hacker sitting at a keyboard, typing out commands, testing a server, seeing it fail, and then trying another command, the harness automates that entire loop.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the human just says, find a way into this network. And the OpenClaw agent rapidly tests vulnerabilities. It reads the error codes, adjusts its strategy, and tries again. It just moves laterally across systems.
That drastically changes the speed of an attack, like fundamentally.
Yeah.
But what really stood out to me in the Taiwan announcement was this massive tonal contradiction.
Oh, the tone was wild.
Right. The government put out this statement claiming they have fully investigated the source, the methods, the scope, and that the affected units have, quote, completed their handling.
Handled it.
Yeah, it sounded very much like, hey, everything's fine, nothing to see here, move along.
We definitely need a serious caveat check on that reassuring tone, though. The government might be projecting calm, but the actual damage numbers we have, they come strictly from the Israeli security vendor Dream.
Dream, right.
Yeah, Dream originally detected the intrusion by reading the attacker's working files. And according to their data, the attackers mapped 21 government systems, cracked 85 user accounts, extracted over 2,500 personnel records, and, this is key, expanded the campaign beyond the government to nuclear safety and energy companies.
Okay, and just to be completely clear here, the Taiwanese government did not confirm those specific counts or the targets.
They did not. Those numbers belong entirely to Dream's analysis.
So it's essentially like the government is saying, hey, a swarm of automated digital drones broke into our house, mapped out the floor plan, stole our files, but don't worry, we swept up the broken glass and handled it.
Basically, yeah.
It really leaves you wondering which reality to believe, right? The vendor's terrifying data or the state's reassurance. And this also sparks a huge debate over how much the AI actually did by itself.
Oh, there's deep disagreement in the cybersecurity community on this exact point. You have Kenny Huang at the Taiwan Network Information Center calling this the first disclosed, fully automated attack on a government.
Wow.
But then Chris Thomas from SemGrep, he cautions that we shouldn't use the word autonomous.
Why not?
He argues there is still a human in the loop, you know, choosing the targets and establishing those core directives. The AI is just rapidly combining the attack techniques and using secondary systems like backup environments as stepping stones.
I mean, even so, it makes the attacks faster, cheaper, and vastly more scalable. Which, you know, leads to the really obvious question. If attackers are using these AI tools to map 21 systems in a matter of days, why aren't the defenders using the exact same AI models to find the holes first?
Well, because they aren't allowed to.
Wait, what?
Yeah, this brings us to the demand side of the security crisis. Over 40 major crypto companies, so we're talking Coinbase, Block, BitGo, alongside nonprofit developer funds like the Bitcoin Red Team, they just published an open letter to the Frontier AI Labs.
Right, and reading through that letter from the briefing, they are essentially begging for access to top-tier models, which I initially found really confusing.
Yeah.
If the models are public, why can't a defender at Coinbase just log into a top-tier chatbot and ask it to scan their code for vulnerabilities?
The crux of their grievance lies entirely in how AI safety filters are designed.
Okay.
These filters are built to stop bad actors from generating malware or exploiting code, but those same filters are incredibly blunt instruments. When a legitimate open source maintainer asks a public AI model to look for vulnerabilities in their own code base, the safety filter just trips. The model essentially replies, "I can't help you with hacking," and shuts the entire conversation down.
That is just maddening. So the safety filters that are meant to protect us are actually protecting the malware.
Exactly.
That's like, I mean, it's like putting a childproof cap on medicine that's so tough, the doctor can't even open it to save the patient.
That's a perfect way to put it, because the adversaries, they aren't using the public filtered models anyway. They are downloading open source, uncensored models, running them on their own hardware, and facing absolutely no constraints.
Oh.
It just puts the defense at a massive structural disadvantage.
Okay, so the crypto letter lays out 5 concrete asks to fix this, right? I'll pull this up. They want pre-release access to cyber-capable models, compute budget so they can actually afford to run these intensive reviews, secure testing environments for private code, eligibility for independent maintainers, so it's not just massive firms getting the access, and a direct line to lab security teams to report what they find.
And, you know, the urgency of those 5 asks becomes totally obvious when you look at the sheer scale of the problem hitting the industry right now. Take Microsoft, for instance. Oh. This past Tuesday, they shipped 419 security fixes.
419 fixes, yes. In a single day.
Yeah. Just put that in perspective. They shipped about 137 in May. Microsoft themselves noted back in May that AI vulnerability discovery has moved from being this theoretical, speculative idea to a very real engineering problem.
I mean, think about what that actually looks like for you or any IT professional. You come to work on a Tuesday, grab your coffee, and your dashboard tells you there are over 400 new, actively patched vulnerabilities that you now have to review, test, and deploy across your entire enterprise.
It's impossible.
Human defenders simply cannot triage that volume.
No, they can't. Though we should definitely note the caveats on the Microsoft numbers. The 419 figure is Microsoft's official count.
Right.
Other security outlets claim 398 or maybe 421 for the exact same release, just due to how they categorize overlapping patches.
Gotcha.
And crucially, wide exploitation of this massive surge in bugs hasn't been observed in the wild yet. But the trend line is what really matters here. As AI models get better at finding flaws, the volume of required patches is just skyrocketing.
So with defenders effectively locked out of the best AI tools by safety filters and buried under an absolute avalanche of patches, the response to this AI-driven extraction has become entirely improvised. We're seeing developers resort to these clever, almost hobbyist hacks just to slow the scraping down.
Yeah, ShieldFont is a perfect example of this improvised defense.
ShieldFont is absolutely wild.
Mm-hmm.
It's this new typeface designed specifically to poison AI scrapers, and the mechanism behind it is fascinating.
It really is.
It uses ligatures, which are, you know, normally used in typography, to connect 2 letters together smoothly, to swap entire words at the exact moment they are drawn on the screen.
Right. So the visual output is completely decoupled from the underlying code.
Yeah.
For a human reading the site visually, the text might say horse. But for the AI scraper reading the underlying HTML code, the text says potato.
Wow.
It corrupts the training data so badly that scrapers are currently rejecting 90% of the pages using it.
See, it sounds brilliant on the surface, like feeding a burglar fake blueprints to your house. But when you look at how it works, doesn't this completely break the internet for screen readers?
That's the huge problem.
Because visually impaired users rely on software that reads the underlying HTML aloud. If we deploy Shield Font, their screen reader is just going to read them a corrupted mess of potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Are we really willing to break web accessibility just to fight AI scrapers?
I mean, it highlights the desperation of the defense side right now. They are willing to break fundamental web standards because the alternative is complete systemic failure.
Right.
And we actually just got a glimpse of what that failure looks like with the Lite LM update. CloudSec recently found that 195 terabytes of secrets leaked from a compromised AI package.
And the speed of that leak is what's truly terrifying.
Right.
CloudSec updated their findings to show that the reconstructed exposure points to over 2,500 organizations and over 434,000 CI/CD pipelines affected.
Yeah.
And that package was only live for 40 minutes.
40 minutes. We need to explain how a supply chain attack like this propagates so quickly, though.
Yeah, please.
So CI/CD stands for Continuous Integration and Continuous Deployment. It's the automated machinery that developers use to push new code to their servers.
Right, the automated updates.
Exactly. When a developer builds an application, their CI/CD pipeline automatically reaches out to the internet and pulls in all the necessary background packages and dependencies just to make the software run.
So if an attacker poisons just one of those popular background packages, they don't have to hack 434,000 individual companies. They just wait for those automated pipelines to blindly pull the poisoned update down into their own systems.
That is exactly the mechanism at play. Now, the huge caveat here is that CloudSec calls this reconstructed exposure.
Meaning what, exactly?
It is not definitive proof that all 434,000 pipelines were fully compromised and exploited. It's basically a measurement of the potential blast radius.
Okay, understood. But still, so what does this all mean for you? It shows you the fragility of the entire system. On one hand, you have defenders relying on a patchwork of disjointed hacks like Shield Font or volunteer red teams probing code in their spare time.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, the attack side is rapidly, ruthlessly industrializing. And a big reason they can scale so fast is the economics of the AI itself. The brain of the operation, the intelligence, is just getting incredibly cheap.
Oh, the price collapse on the intelligence side over a span of just 36 hours was staggering.
Yeah.
First, xAI released Grok 4.6. They claimed it matched top-tier models like OpenAI's GPT 5.6 Sol, but they priced it at just $2 per million input tokens.
And a million input tokens is roughly equivalent to feeding the model about 750,000 words. So $2 to read the equivalent of a small library.
Right. And then literally a day and a half later, DeepSeek dropped their V4 Pro 0813 model.
Okay.
They priced it at 44 cents per million input tokens.
44 cents. That makes complex automated reasoning practically free. But I have to imagine there are massive catches to intelligence priced that low.
There are significant catches. DeepSeek is incredibly cheap, sure, but it performs worse on rigorous benchmarks. It actually ranked 12th on the Vols Index.
And for anyone unfamiliar, the Vols Index is essentially the industry's gold standard for testing how smart and capable these models actually are across complex reasoning tasks.
Exactly. DeepSeek specifically struggles with complex financial models on that index.
Ah.
And as for Grok's claims that it finishes tasks in fewer steps than its competitors, we have to point out that their claim relies entirely on self-reported competitor system cards. It has not been verified by independent third-party reviews.
Still, even with those caveats, the trend is pretty clear, right? The intelligence itself is becoming a cheap commodity.
Absolutely.
But the skull, the physical hardware and energy required to train and run these models, is getting unsustainably expensive. Didn't Elon Musk just project that xAI will need 10 gigawatts of power by 2027?
Yeah, 10 gigawatts. That is roughly the power consumption of a small to medium-sized country.
Wow.
And that's just the power. The physical hardware, like NVIDIA's workstation cards, those are hitting $16,000 a piece.
Jeez. Well, this massive bottleneck perfectly explains the news surrounding Anthropic today. Anthropic, who, by the way, confidentially filed an S-1 for an initial public offering back in June, they are now in reported talks to buy the Israeli startup Descartes for $6
billion. $6
billion. Now, I was looking into Descartes, and it confused me at first, because they aren't building a frontier model to compete with ChatGPT or Claude.
Mm-hmm.
So why on earth is a major lab trying to buy them for $6 billion?
Well, Descartes' value lies entirely in their ability to optimize the hardware.
Okay.
They write software designed specifically to squeeze more efficiency out of the chips. See, when you are running tens of thousands of GPUs, a significant amount of computing power is often wasted just moving data around or waiting for tasks to finish. Descartes uses advanced predictive routing to ensure the hardware is utilized to its absolute maximum capacity, and that lowers the overall cost of training and running these AI models.
Okay, we have to emphasize strongly here that these are reported talks, not a finalized deal. Both companies have declined to comment. But here's where it gets really interesting. Because if a near trillion-dollar lab is willing to spend $6 billion just to lower its electricity and compute bill, it feels like a massive admission that the just buy more chips strategy has hit a brick wall. Like, is efficiency now more valuable than sheer scale?
I mean, it signals a fundamental shift in the market. With an IPO looming for Anthropic, investors are looking very, very closely at those bottomless compute bills.
Right.
Efficiency is no longer just a nice-to-have engineering feature. It's a critical strategic asset. If the intelligence itself is a commodity that DeepSeek is pricing at 44 cents, your profit margin relies entirely on running the physical infrastructure cheaper than your competitors.
And to fuel this massive, resource-heavy, power-hungry AI ecosystem, these companies don't just need power. They need data, mountains of it, to train the next generation of models.
Oh, yeah.
And increasingly, because the hunger for data is so high, companies are just taking it by setting the defaults themselves, stripping agency away from the user completely.
The Twitch story is a prime example of this dynamic. Twitch quietly revealed a setting that had opted every single user account into training Amazon's generative AI models.
Every single account.
Yes. This data harvesting included live streams, chat logs, video on demand, and images.
And the way they communicated this is just wild. They didn't announce this massive policy shift on a big official blog post or send out an email blast. They revealed it via a customer support post on X.
Yeah.
But the truly incredible part is the justification they gave when they were actually caught.
Right. So the former chief product officer, Mike Minton, was on a company live stream. And when he was directly asked why this invasive data collection wasn't an opt-in feature, his response was, quote, "If it was opt-in, nobody would opt-in."
Twitch's literal defense is,
yeah,
we didn't ask you because we knew you would say no.
Yeah.
If consent is just a toggle hidden deep in a settings menu that deliberately defaults to yes, because the company needs your data to train their models. Mm. I mean, is consent even a real concept in the tech industry anymore? It's just a legal hurdle to bypass.
It really is. And this creeping loss of consent in digital spaces, it's starting to bleed heavily into the physical world, too. A preprint study from the University of Sydney just examined how Meta Ray-Bans, you know, the smart glasses equipped with cameras, are altering social behavior in public.
Wait, what were they looking for specifically?
So the researchers analyzed and coded 350 Instagram videos that featured men harassing women in public spaces while wearing these smart glasses.
Oh, wow.
The core finding was that the harassment actually escalated and got more severe the more concealed the camera was. Because the recording device is hidden in the frame of the glasses, the subjects being recorded have absolutely no idea they are participating in content creation.
That is deeply unsettling. I mean, the default assumption in public used to be that if someone was filming you, you'd see a phone pointed at you. Now, the default is just invisible surveillance.
It is. But we must stress the academic caveats here. This is a preprint study.
Right.
It has not been peer-reviewed by other academics yet, and the authors deliberately noted that some of the videos they analyzed may have been staged by the creators for internet clout.
Sure.
But regardless of the individual videos, the study points to a broader trajectory. Data extraction and recording are becoming the hidden, inescapable defaults of our daily lives.
Yeah, that loss of consent and awareness in the physical world is terrifying. But what happens when companies lose that exact same awareness of their own digital output? Look at our final piece of intel from the briefing involving DiDorio, the famous guitar string company.
Oh, man. Their recent marketing misstep perfectly encapsulates everything we've discussed today.
It really does.
DiDorio posted a promotional demo track online to showcase their strings. And almost immediately, musicians and listeners started accusing them of using AI to generate the music.
And the company vehemently denied it. Like, for 2 solid weeks, they fought with people in the comment section.
Yeah.
They offered these highly technical, convoluted excuses. First, they claimed it was just a bad audio export that made the guitar sound synthetic.
Right.
Then they blamed artifacts from AutoTune software. Then they pivoted again and said it was AI mastering plugins that messed up the frequencies.
They went so far as to post screenshots of Logic Pro session files to prove human involvement.
Which is such a specific thing to fake, you know? You can't just slap a generated MP3 into a digital audio workstation and pretend it's a multi-track human recording.
Mm-hmm.
And internet sleuths quickly realized the files they posted didn't even match the tempo or the structure of the track they uploaded.
Nope. And after 2 weeks of this escalating disaster, they quietly edited the original post to admit the truth. They wrote, "We got this wrong. Suno Studio was used to regenerate the original track."
They literally could not tell that their own advertisement, meant to sell physical guitar strings to real musicians, was machine-made.
It perfectly echoes the entire thesis of today's deep dive. We are looking at institutions that don't even know what is being done in their own name by their own automated tools.
Exactly.
And their very first instinct, when confronted by the public, is just to deny the reality and try to end the conversation.
Yeah. Today we see national governments, major crypto firms, and massive tech platforms all struggling to control the highly automated industrialized tools operating in their name. If a massive guitar string company can't even tell if its own promotional track was made by a machine, how confident are you in distinguishing the human from the automated in your own daily digital interactions? As the cost of digital intelligence collapses to literal pennies and the volume of automated attacks outpaces human defenders, perhaps the most valuable thing you can cultivate is your own digital skepticism. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the defaults, and remember, when the digital mode evaporates, you are the final line of defense.